No, my hooky, my. Welcome back. You're on 95 BFM Breakfast. It's time for our monthly catch-up with the National Party. And this month, Cabinet has taken decisions to amend the Policing Act to reaffirm police's ability to gather intelligence in public spaces, as well as temporarily close areas in response to public safety risks. We're lucky enough to be joined by Police Minister Mark Mitchell. Morena, Minister.
Good morning, Malik. Good morning, Rosita.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Yeah, we're good. How are you?
Good. I just listened to your marketing there. It's pretty good.
Are you a fan?
Well done.
Oh, okay.
I actually want to tune in. So.
Very good.
Hilarious.
We'll pass on the message. Yeah. Thank you. I thought we'd start by just checking in with how your health is. I know you've been in and out of hospital
this
month.
Yeah.
No, look, thank you for that. I'm out of hospital. It's really nice to be out. I had great care while I was in there. But I had a blood infection that hadn't been picked up or diagnosed. And so you don't mess around with those things. So basically they hit me with a whole lot of IV antibiotics and, sort of a whole lot of other drugs, and now I'm back up and running. So thank you for asking.
Good to hear it. Can we talk about the decision to amend the Policing Act and what these changes will look like?
Yeah, so what happened was there was a Supreme Court ruling in a case called Tammy Funa, and basically the judge said the rules weren't clear enough around the collection of images, And then it set the police right back, and they actually had less powers than the general public and being able to do that, and it's an important part of their work. So what we're doing is I've taken it through Cabinet, is that we're going to put legislation in to be able to clarify those powers, and all it's doing is going back and giving police the ability to do what they've been doing for decades. There's still strict rules around it. You still work with the Office of the Privacy Commission. We've been really clear and explicit telling police the powers are not to be used for sort of mass collection. It's very focused on public safety, but they need to have that ability.
Are you worried about risks to privacy and particularly surrounding trust of police from our most vulnerable communities?
No, I'm not, but it's something that we consider and is at the forefront of our mind, and making sure that we keep that social contract alive with the public and maintain that public confidence. And the good thing is that public confidence is increasing. It was always very high for police, but it's actually going higher. They're doing an outstanding job. But they understand the importance of maintaining that. They work very closely with the Office of the Privacy Commissioner. But at the end of the day, all this is doing is it's reinstating what they've been doing for decades. And it is important for public safety that the police are able to collect intelligence and have information at hand, so that they know where to deploy resources and they know the best way to be able to protect the community that they serve.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about wanting to reinstate what's been happening for decades, but things are changing. You know, we've got new technologies involved here, and there's facial recognition and AI technologies, so it's not the same, is it?
No, you're right. So the technology is changing rapidly, and it's been able to use that technology in a responsible way, like I said, whilst maintaining public confidence. And you're right, as the facial technology is new technology, that Foodstuffs have just done a big trial on that, on the use of facial technology. It shows that it increases both the employee and the customer safety significantly. And so we need to embrace and look at how we can use that that new technology, both in the private sector and at government level as well, but just do that in a careful and responsible way.
With data breaches becoming a more complex issue and kind of more, with data breaches so prevalent in today's society, what safeguards are you making sure that these images don't get anywhere?
Of course, that's IT and that's not an area of mine, but from a government perspective, it's just making sure that there are continual upgrades and monitoring of seeing where the attacks are coming. There's hundreds and thousands of attacks on systems every day, whether it be your systems, whether it be other company systems, whether it be government systems. It's just really trying to stay ahead of the curve there and making sure that you're investing in the right technology and the ability to be able to defeat those.
At a time when tensions are so high across the board, you know, in regards to the cost of living crisis or the rates of poverty, is this really what the public needs in terms of ensuring that we trust our police?
Well, they need to feel that they're safe. And we went backwards rapidly, over a period of about 5 or 6 years. All of the indicators were heading in the wrong direction. Violent crime was through the roof. And people fundamentally, for any society, need to feel safe. And so, you know, it is really important that we have a focus on that. We are starting to head in the right direction now. There's still a lot more work to do. The police are doing an outstanding job, in fact, right across the whole justice sector, whether it be courts, over in the Tamariki, corrections. Everyone is working really closely together to make sure that we're the safest country in the world. It's nice to see that we've come up two places in terms of being one of the most safest countries in the world, but we've got to keep that moving.
I think, yeah, it's interesting that talk of wanting people to feel safe, because I can't help but wonder whether, you know, our rangatahi Māori and our young people who are most at risk of antisocial behaviour or falling into poverty cycles and crime are going to be made to feel safe by potential invasion of their privacy with this.
Well, that's, of course, is everyone in New Zealand. It doesn't matter when you arrived or what culture you've come from or what your faith is. The police are colourblind. They serve without fear and favour. And and we want everyone to feel safe. Now, there's a whole lot of complex social issues that we have to address and get into as well, and we're doing that as a government through our social investment agency. But, you know, at the end of the day, New Zealand is a country that we should all love, be proud of, be able to reach our aspirations, feel safe in, and feel like there's opportunity there. And that's every New Zealander and every Kiwi, regardless of when you arrived or, like I said, where you've come from, that should apply to all of us.
Yeah, it's a nice ideal that should apply to all of us, but the reality is that our Māori communities and our Pacifica communities are over-policed and have higher rates of youth offending. And, you know, we saw changes with this in 2020 when the police had to find and delete thousands of photos they took, especially of young Māori. So I'm just wondering what is going to happen in terms of all of these changes to protect these vulnerable communities.
No, I don't agree at all that, that any Pacific group in New Zealand is over-policed. The police do not get to choose who wants to commit crime and hurt people. They just have to be able to respond to that, I don't agree at all that that any Pacific group in our country is over-policed. The police will go and put resources where it is needed to keep people safe. Sorry, what was the second tranche that died? The collection of images and things like that. Look, the reality of it is, you keep raising Māori, they Māori are grossly overrepresented as victims.
So what are the police going to do to protect them further? I mean, are these amendments really going to protect Māori in particular?
Those are the wrong questions. Why are you asking me what police are going to do to drop victimisations with Māori? That is a much broader, wider conversation that happens across central government, local government, social service agencies, iwi and hapu, in terms of how we're going to deal with those deep social issues and why Māori are overrepresented as victims. And that's something that we're committed to doing. Police cannot solve those issues by themselves.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. That's definitely something across the board that we've talked to other ministers about. And there's issues across the board that need to be addressed. Just bringing it back to the police and the changes.
These are deep societal issues that have been with us now for probably three or four generations, and they're really hard and they're really difficult to fix. That doesn't mean that we don't do everything that we can and we don't try. And I believe, like I said, I believe the social investment approach is the best way of doing that, and that is right across every government agency. That's working with local governments, working with social agencies, it's working with iwi and hapu. It's bringing everyone together to say, look, these are the problems, let's identify them, how do we deal with them?
So you really feel as though this coalition government is doing enough to address the systemic issues at the core of crime in Aotearoa?
Yes, I do. I think that when you look at the results, and results matter, we've set targets and we start to move and we're reducing violent crime, we're reducing youth offending. So yes, we're definitely heading in the right direction. Make no mistake, there's still a lot more work to be done and we're not there yet, but we're heading in the right direction.
Okay. Just bringing it back to policing before we sign off. I just want you to, if you could, wrap up. How will be holding police accountable to ensure that these sort of increased powers don't get abused at all?
Well, the same way police are always held to accountable, we've got you've got internal investigations, you've got external with the Independent Police Conduct Authority, we've got Office of the Privacy Commissioner, you've got courts and avenues there. So we have a very high level of accountability for all of our agencies, including our police in this country, and that is why we sit at the top of the corruption indexes in terms of being a country that's relatively almost completely free of corruption, because there's so much transparency and there's so much accountability in the system.
Thank you very much, Minister Mark Mitchell, for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me on, ladies. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too. Bye, Peter.
Okay, take care. See you.